This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Amy Dickinson, Tom Beaudet, and P.J. O'Rourke. And here again is your host at the Chase Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. You were so nice. In just a minute, Carl calls upon the muses for inspiration as he prepares for another round of the Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Tom, the knothole Little League baseball teams of the Cincinnati area will take the field this spring under a new rule. The players will no longer be able to do what?
In the Little League?
Yes.
No longer be able to spit?
No.
Well, cat call the batters.
Exactly right.
Really?
No more taunting the opposing players.
Wow.
It's true. Anybody who's ever played Little League knows that the kids...
But if the pitcher...
What are we teaching our children?
Yeah. Exactly.
But what do you say after you're not a pitcher, you're an underwear stitcher?
You're an underwear stitcher. Or we need a pitcher, not a belly itcher. If you say any of that, you're out.
Oh,
gone.
Please.
Yes. No. Because you know the kids put as much energy into the sing-song chants aimed at the opposing players as they do into, like, catching the ball. But no more. Why? Because it could escalate. The league president says, quote, if you're saying swing batter and the poor little kid is swinging at everything and he feels bad and maybe he turns to the catcher and gets mad. And then, of course, hell itself is unleashed.
But you know what? Isn't this why we went to war?
To defend the right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you can't mock the poor little kids for underperforming, the terrorists have won.
They've won.
How are we going to prepare these kids, those lucky few who will get to the big leagues, you know, and then they're standing up trying to bat in front of somebody like Jason Veritek who's talking to them and saying stuff they've never heard before.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
We need to toughen these people now. Instead, the little boys will be encouraged to tell other players who fail to blame poor parenting.
Oh, yeah. There.
Hey, batter, doesn't seem like your home is a nurturing environment.
Right.
That cuts to the quick, baby. PJ, a couple of months back, we reported on a German rabbit breeder. He'd agreed to send 12 of his giant rabbits to North Korea so the Koreans could develop huge herds of giant rabbits as a food source for that impoverished country. Well, our German friend is now furious because instead of breeding the 12 rabbits, he says that Kim Jong-il and other top officials in North Korea did what with them?
I don't know.
Oh, I would say probably put them in charge of foreign policy.
No. Well, you know what it's like. You know what it's like. You get home with the groceries, you got all the stuff you're going to make, but you're hungry and you don't want to take time for dinner. Sort of like that.
Like Glenn Close and Fatal Attraction?
Something like that.
Aww. So they ate them.
They ate the bunnies.
Yeah,
they ate the breeder bunnies. Yeah.
They ate the breeding stock.
They ate the breeding stock.
These are the leaders of the country.
Yeah.
This would explain that vibrant North Korean economy, wouldn't it?
But
where were they going with that? Herds of giant bunnies.
Roaming over the North Korean plains.
I don't think it was going to work anyway.
Well, this guy, Carl Schmalinski, he was all set to head over and set up the breeding colony with these 12 giant bunnies he had sent over, these bunnies that can grow to the size of small dogs. But last week, the North Koreans told him the trip was off, and he thinks he knows what happened. They were served as part of Kim Jong-il's birthday dinner. He says he has no proof of this, but North Korea's foreign minister, when asked about the rabbits, said no comment and then burped out a little bit of small white fur.